Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, however you're listening to us. We thank you. We appreciate you. Today is Wednesday, February 25th, just over a little after 11 p.m. Eastern time. Chuck, today we're keeping it all basketball. I guess we'll talk baseball soon, but we're keeping it all basketball right now. Some things have transpired in the NBA since the trading deadline, which we last talked. I was just sitting in the comforts of my home last night and forget what I'm watching on television. Real World, I believe. I'm 2015, still a Real World watcher, I must admit. But I'm watching the Real World, and, you know, I get this ESPN alert to my phone. I look at it, and it says Derrick Rose is has to go in a knee procedure with a torn meniscus or something of that nature. Once again, though, D. Rose and his health is that question. It's after the All-Star break, Chuck. I mean, where were you at when you got first heard about it? What are your thoughts for him going forward for the team? I believe the over-under we had was 59.5 games, so he went under that. But, I mean, just overall, what are your thoughts about D. Rose and his injury?
Well, I was at work, and when I heard the news, I saw it on Twitter, and I was just like, how? They didn't play last night, so I was sort of confused as to why he would be hurt. As far as what it means for the team, they're in a weird position right now. He wasn't really playing like a superstar, so you really can't say that him not being there is going to hurt them in a very dramatic way. He definitely was a player who was playing well, and he was showing Spurs-like ability of his MVP gear, but overall he was having a mediocre season. So I think it's all by committee now, and it's a lot of leaning on Pau Gasol and the emergence of Jimmy Butler as an all-star. So I think that's the mode the team is going to have to get into. As far as Derrick Rose, I mean, he's still going to be getting them checks. So I think he comes back. I think, who knows? It may not be as bad as some of us think, and he may be able to come back and play also. I mean, we'll see what happens.
Right. Overall, you know, my feelings about the injury is, you know, I kind of saw it coming. Well, this one really just, you know, struck me, you know, randomly because, like you said, he wasn't playing. It wasn't like during a game. It was in the middle of the night. Not the middle of the night, but towards the latter of the evening. And, you know, this information just comes out, but I mean, overall, I just look at it as, you know, I kind of figure this will happen again. I mean, you play a professional sport for a living. Your body, it takes a toll. It takes some sort of beating. You know, he's had these injuries. He's had the injury history. So I figured it could happen again. I figured more so during a game, which we've seen before. We saw in the playoffs a couple years ago against Philly. I think he went down. But, you know, usually it's end game, but this time it was, they don't even know when it happened, it seems like. So, I mean, it's unfortunate for him, but like you said, the checks are still going to clear. So, I mean, I think he'll, you know, obviously, you know, try to come back from the injury. It could be a 6 to 8 month injury. It could also be like a 3 to 6 weeks injury. So, I mean, obviously we wish the best for him, but, going forward for the Bulls, I just think that, you know, they have to chalk it up. I mean, all guys don't pan out to, you know, exactly become what you want them to. I mean, I'm not saying that D-Rose can't, you know, help him win a championship, which I believe he still can, but I don't believe he can be the focal point and that guy that you count on every game to give you 30-plus minutes to be that total NBA star. His health says otherwise at this point. As we move on, though, after the D-Rose injury, Chuck, which already seemed to be formulating, but after this injury to D-Rose, it's are the Cavaliers, you know, they added Kendrick Perkins. I mean, I don't think he played the other day, but they played Detroit the other night. You know, comeback victory, guys like LeBron look well. Kevin Love just knocking down threes, LeBron getting them really involved. But are they clear cut to make the finals now, run through the East?
Yeah, I think we were sort of up and down with them. I've always believed that as long as LeBron changes on their team, then they really have the chance to be very, very good. And after, you know, the good they talk about when they're trying to, like, you know, punch a bunch of people together, I'm talking about, like, stand out. So, that's just it.
Yeah, I think I would say, yeah, they are the clear cut. I don't see anyone stopping them right now. At least, you know, now in the East. I look at the Eastern Conference. You got teams like, you know, Chicago, who we felt could contend a bit with the healthy D-Rolls, contending with the Cavs or be a top of the East. But that's a bit shattered right now, although that could still happen, but I don't see them advancing past the Cavaliers. You got teams like Toronto who, you know, okay, but I don't see them being better than Cavs. You got Atlanta who could maybe give you know, guys like Mozgov trouble with having them, you know, come out and not just protect the rim. But I don't know. I don't see anyone in the East really getting past them. Obviously, some teams I forgot about. But, you know, Cleveland's, you know, they're playing their best ball right now. And I just see them, you know, just having kind of a not too much of an easy route, but sort of what Miami, you know, kind of endured these last few years, minus the Pacer rivalry. So, moving on though, Chuck. Last night, Steph Curry came to Washington D.C., showed out, really did his thing. I believe over 30 points, double digits and assists. But just MVP talk right now, Chuck. I mean, who's the top of the leaderboard? I think we pretty much, or people around, have a top three, but a similar top three. But, I mean, who's your top three guys right now for the MVP? Is there a certain leader? Would you call it an even race? But who are your guys right now?
Oh, well, for my sixth man, I'm going to start with the sixth man. I think I have Lou Will. He's averaging, I think, 15.8, close to 16 points per game. I believe that's a career high for him. Toronto second, and he's a very key part. As far as MVP goes, I have Westbrook, Curry, Harden in that exact order, and I think Curry is just slightly behind. He's not as far as behind as some may think. Yeah, that's one of the people I saw. Defensive player of the year, I don't know. This is always a weird stat because I don't know how you just single people, award, because I don't know how you just single people out for stats. But the eye test tells me that
Yeah, me personally, MVP, those same three guys, I mean, I got them as well. Right now, I think Curry, you know, should be in front just because of the record. You know, his team is the top of the West. They have a 3.5-game lead on any other team behind them. So I think I'll give it to him there. Harden's my close second, but Russell is just coming on for me. I feel like if he can get that team in sixth or fifth, and he's definitely probably in the top two talk. So, I mean, it's incredible to watch these three guys play. I mean, I was just watching Harden play. Didn't have the greatest game against the Clippers, who beat Houston 7 times in a row, but that streak was snapped tonight as Houston got the W. But, you know, he was just playing as a facilitator because he realized that he struggles against the Clippers. And he still got, double digits in points. He got the double-double. So, I think Harden is playing very well. You know, he's just always a great watch. Curry is probably the most watchable guy in the league right now. Just, especially when they play at home, the atmosphere is crazy. He feeds off of it. And like Westbrook goes out, dominates guys every single night of the week if he's playing. And, you know, those three guys right now definitely are the leading candidates, it feels like. And it's just going to be interesting to watch over the second half of the season, especially with Russie doing the things that he's doing right now. Triple-double last night with no fourth quarter played. So, but speaking of, you know, we were talking about Steph. Like I said, he showed out in D.C. last night. The team that he played, which is the Washington Wizards, not only did they lose that game last night, Chuck, they played a back-to-back and went to Minnesota tonight. Big night Minnesota, KG returning, et cetera, but these guys got blown out to Minnesota, who's a lottery team right now, Chuck. Wizards just don't look good at all. It's just horrible losing streak. I believe they lost 5 in a row now, Chuck. I think we kind of touched on what some of the things that are wrong with them. I mean, how can they turn it around? Like, obviously, we still think they're going to get in the playoffs, but to advance to the second round and clean things up, what can they do?
Well, I mean, I think I never liked the fact they gave Trevor Ariza. I thought he was an intricate part of the team. I always thought they overpaid for Gortat. I thought they could find what he does and other people for less money or by
like
committee.
Hassan Whiteside.
Hassan Whiteside is a savior. By committee and, the other night he didn't play in the fourth quarter. I don't believe you should just play people because of their contracts, but he was having a good game, you know, playing well. Why? It just doesn't make sense to me sometimes. I'm very confused. I don't want to blame everything on Whitney, but sometimes I'm very confused as to what is going on with their offense and, like, what is the philosophy? What are they trying to really get out of this? Are they just running through basic, like, you know, motion because that's the play? So, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it, but I definitely don't care that much.
Right. Me, myself, watching, I think the Wizards are kind of dropping the ball. It seems like last year they had so much potential, and they're just, I don't know, dropping the ball in front of our very eyes. Like you said, perhaps they did pay too much for Gortat. You know, although he did, I see tonight, he grabbed 15 rebounds, only 9 points. But, I feel like, he's more of a big man hustle guy, but I remember he backed up Dwight in Orlando. I mean, I'm not saying that he's not a starting center, power forward, however you want to put him, but, I think he could have had a friendlier contract or, you know, you can get guys that kind of work in. Like you said, though, Ariza was a big part of the offense last year. Could hit those threes, those clutch threes that they needed, clutch shots. Obviously, tonight they didn't have Paul Pierce. He was injured last night at the very end of the Golden State game, which was, you know, not the greatest, smartest play on his part. But, seems to be, as I'm looking at their roster right now, what's wrong with them, Gortat, I believe, is, you know, overpaid, and maybe they could have went elsewhere. Like I said, Hassan Whiteside was picked up out of nowhere from Miami, and he's being paid very minimal money and doing a lot. Led them to a victory in Orlando tonight. But I'm looking at Raymond Sessions. I've watched him play these last few games. The guy's not good, I'm sorry to say. You know, on defense, he cheats a lot, tries to do certain things to help defenders, but he's not. Just watching him last night against Steph, try to halfway cover Steph. You know, he would cheat a little bit, and Steph made him pay every time. Guys get past him. You know, they need a backup point guard, and their bench play. I remember guys like Rasul Butler were doing so much early in the year, but I'm looking at the plus minus right now. He's a minus 15 for the night. Their bench play is just not good enough. I like Chris Humphreys on their bench, but other than that, I'm not really sure. Not a lot out of Otto Porter Jr. still either. I don't know if you ever are going to get so much, but he's the leading scorer tonight with 13 points. So, quick thoughts. KG came back to Minnesota tonight. Wiggins, plus 16, plus minus. He had 19 points, though. Yeah, they just outplayed the Wizards tonight. I don't know what's the deal with the Wizards, though. But as we move on, Chuck, going from the Eastern Conference to the Western Conference, team in Dallas right now, you know, these guys have won a championship, have some sort of a championship DNA, you know, have you know, tried to be all in this year with getting back there, you know, Dirk's final few years. So they acquired Rajon Rondo about a month or so before the trade deadline, maybe a month and a half. They're not significantly better with him. You know, their record doesn't show that they're a better team with him. A ball-dominant guy. But last night, him, Rondo, and Coach Rick Carlisle, both champions in their own respect, just getting into it. Rondo's bringing up the ball. Coach is calling out a play. Rondo doesn't really look at him. Just kind of, you know, goes into his own thing. And Carlisle calls the timeout. You know, is yelling at him, what are you doing, et cetera, et cetera. And Rondo, being the guy that he is, or having the reputation that he has, fires back, says some things as well. Obviously, I mean, we're all adults. I mean, people can exchange words and move on. But, I mean, overall, Chuck, especially with Rondo's, you know, history, I mean, what did you think of the ordeal or the situation that took place, you know, also his success? I mean, he hasn't seen the success that he saw, and I guess in 2011, 2012 days. Is he back in Dallas next year? And if not, where can you see him being successful again?
I think the Rondo case is an interesting one because I think we all knew that him and Carlisle would bump heads once they traded for him. So I don't see why this is really shocking. I think what the real question or what the real situation that needs to be determined is, like, where do they go next from this? And I don't know.
Right. I mean, yeah, I don't know either. Like I said, they're a team that moves the ball well. Rondo is a very dominant, you know, needs the ball point guard. So, obviously, I don't think.
And I mean, my thing is that you traded intricate parts, but, you know, pieces that your team could have used. So now you gave those pieces away, probably with the intention that Rondo signs there, correct?
Right.
After the season. So if if this is sort of like the issue at hand, is it Rondo or Carlisle? Carlisle's the coach who won your franchise the only title. Rondo's getting close to 30. People are talking about he hasn't won anything without 3 Hall of Famers beside him. So there's so many things that I just feel as though like the Mavericks sort of have buyer's remorse, and this is one of those situations where they can't do anything about it.
Right. My thing is for all these teams who have these big analytic, you know, branches of their companies or their franchises, a team that moves the ball a lot, if you're acquiring a point guard that holds the ball a lot, it doesn't make that much sense. So, I mean, that's their issue right now. And Rondo, he can't shoot, still can't shoot. So teams back off of him and dare him to shoot. And when he does, he's usually not that successful. And only I heard today on Levitard's show, only 3 made free throws in 2015. It's February 25th, so that's not good at all. He hasn't shot free throws very well, so yeah, I don't know. I don't know if this is going to work out at all. I don't see him back next year, but I think where he can be successful again is probably in New York next year with a Jahlil Okafor. I think he needs a big man to work with. And someone that I feel that point guards like that are, you know, best when they have a dominant big man beside them rather than another wing player. Obviously you need wing players, but guys like Rondo, I feel that, yeah, he needs a big man. I can see him in New York next year with a Jahlil Okafor. But, I mean, you said you don't see him back in Dallas next year, Chuck?
Nah. I feel as though he doesn't go to Dallas. I feel like he looks for a team that he feels is sort of close to winning it, and they're missing him. I think the experiment is teaching him that he's not like a number one, but he's definitely a piece that can glue everything together or make all the glue pieces come together. So if maybe like you're a mediocre or halfway between the road, middle of the road team, you can get him and that can elevate you because he takes pressure off of people. He puts people in positions to score. Like you said, he's so ball dominant, but if he's dominant and people are getting wide open threes, wide open cuts to the back cuts and layups, that works.
Right. I can see him Okafor and Melo in New York running the triangle. I just see it. I don't know why. Just a feeling of mine. But as we move on and we're talking about Okafor and stuff, I want to talk about some NCAA talk, Chuck. University of Maryland got a big win last night as they beat Frank Kaminsky in Wisconsin in College Park, Maryland. Overall, I mean, what were your thoughts about that game? Maryland number 14 beating number 5, Wisconsin, first matchup in the Big against, you know, each other as Big Ten foes. But I mean, what did you think of the matchup?